kidding, Mr. Hitler, if you think we're on the run. We are the boys.
Welcome to another episode of the Dad's Army podcast. This is podcast number 12, and today is Sunday the 26th of November 2007. This week is going to be a slightly different podcast. We're going to skip over news and feedback this week, and we're going to concentrate instead on an episode that features the Six Bells Pub, and we'll also include an interview that Tony and I recorded with the landlord of that pub that features, as you'll find out in a number of different Dad's Army episodes, some months ago. So it's been quite a delayed episode. Hope you find it interesting. We had a wonderful time when we went up to the pub and we positioned ourselves in places where we'd seen the characters stand and sit in Dad's Army all those years ago. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Feel free to get in touch with us as always. Usually mail address, warmingtononc333@yahoo.co.uk.
You're listening to the Dad's Army podcast with James and Tony.
Just a quick announcement before we get into the podcast. In a fortnight's time, we'll be having another stage show special. And we've already received a lot of feedback from listeners over the last couple of months telling us what they think of the play. This is your final opportunity to get your thoughts and comments to us so that it can actually feature on this special podcast. Please again send those comments to the email address that I mentioned a few seconds ago, or record your comments into an MP3 file and email them to us, and I'll do my very best to include them in the show. So without any further ado, we'll travel back to when it was actually bright and sunny in this country, not now when it's so utterly miserable, and Tony and I took a trip up to Thetford and we spoke to the landlord of the Six Bells Pub. I'm joined now by the landlord of the Six Bells Pub that featured in Wake Up Warmington, Ring Them Bells and All Is Safely Gathered In. Hello Paul, welcome to the podcast. As we mentioned, the pub's featured in Dad's Army on many occasions. When you bought the pub, were you aware that it was famous for appearing in one of the BBC's comedies?
We knew that it had been in the series and that, and then I think they moved on to Thetford afterwards, but we thought it was a good connection.
So do you get many people or many punters coming in and asking you about the pub's connection with Dad's Army?
Oh, you always get people asking about it because it's in our advertising as well. And we've got the placard up on the wall. People always like to read about it, find it very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
And some people actually make the connection with the building out the front.
Yes. The what's that building used for now? Which it was a barn originally.
Well, that's our bedrooms now, so we've got 10 letting bedrooms out. They're constantly getting people turn up and they're just taking photographs at the front.
They come in and have a drink as well at some
point. Yeah, they come in and they usually say why they're here as well with the connection with Dad's Army.
So you've gone through the same story on several occasions, presumably.
Yeah, many's a time.
Thetford is connected very heavily with Dad's Army as well. I think people just include the pub on one of their trials.
Well, that's
We've mentioned the Six Bells Pub in our podcast before. And we've had lots of people email in expressing surprise that it was a real pub, that it really was called the Six Bells.
Yeah.
And probably even more surprised now that 30 years later it's still going strong.
Yeah. Well, it's like they are was surprised when we actually had a do on, I think it was a wedding anniversary, and there was about 35 people here for that, and they was all outside having photos taken in the garden, and all these people started appearing. I said, oh, can we get a drink? And I was thinking, where are these from? And it turns out it was the Dad's Army Society. Coachload of them. But we was happy to take care of them. And they were just going around looking at all different places that had appeared in it to take photos and that from the scenes. Apparently it's quite a popular thing.
There's probably loads of photographs of your pub out there somewhere. Yeah. I understand you'd be interested if any...
I would be, yeah.
If any Dad's Army fans have got photographs of the Six Bells, if you could, if it's possible to email them in to us at the podcast, which is warmingtononc333@yahoo.co.uk, then we'll make certain we'll pass them on to Paul here at the Six Bells.
And vice versa, I've got photographs there that people might have find of interest.
Wanted to mention those. You've shown me and Tony some photographs of when filming actually happens here. How did you come by those pictures?
Well, it was one of the locals, and at the time he was a young lad, and his brother comes in here quite regularly to eat in the restaurant, and he came in one night and he said, oh, you might be interested in these, because course, with the history of the pub, with a connection that, and I was, and I said, oh, can I copy them? He said, yeah, he was only too happy.
Well, they're great. I mean, I realise it's a podcast and it's audio, but there's photographs of all the cast there.
There is, yeah.
You've got pictures.
Great quality as well, considering the time that they saved and all them years ago.
Well, yeah, we're looking just over 30 years now. The images are fairly clear. Yeah. So I'll look to see if there's a way in which we can get some on our website as well, so people can see them. I've also noticed in the hallway of your pub, you've got some framed articles, some large newspaper articles as well, about when Dad's Army was filmed here. If you could tell us how you came by those.
The previous owners had made them all up, like from the cuttings and that, and put it up, obviously, because of the connection with Dad's Army, and I wanted people to know. But people even turned up, like, all saying, oh, this is what the Dad's Army Press was done.
They're beautifully put together as well, and someone's obviously had time or spent a bit of time putting some photographs together, and it's a good montage, really.
Yeah.
So, also, I understand you've got a slight story. I mean, which arose from the photographs that you showed us about the placards.
Yeah.
Of the six bars.
At the time, the bloke who gave me the photographs, he was explaining to me about, and I said, oh, it's the six bell sign. And he said, oh no, that was actually, they put that up and covered up the original six bell sign because obviously it didn't fit in with the period. So the BBC obviously paid for that. Which was the first.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but then when we came recently to decorate the front of the building, we could actually see where it had been.
Yeah.
So they must have, even though they've used it, they must have left it for them to use.
I wonder where it is now.
I know, I was just thinking the same thing. It would have been an interesting object to still own.
Well, there you are. If you know where the six bells sign is, get in contact with us. Landlord wants it back.
Yeah.
Okay, we mentioned earlier that you still operate a hotel here, and if people can stay, I mean, what would be the best way for them to find out details?
Well, they could contact us on our website, which is www.sixbellsbardwell, which is all one word, .co.uk.
Terrific. Okay. Well, thank you very much indeed for the time you spent talking to us, Paul. I appreciate it.
Glad you've taken the time to come up here and interview us.
No problem.
And I hope it's been of interest to everyone out there.
Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
And our thanks go to Paul and Trevor at the Six Bells for making our visit so enjoyable. Thanks for taking care of us, guys. We're still looking at the best way of putting the images Paul spoke about during our interview on our website, and I'll let you know as soon as I've figured it out. If you'd like to take a closer look at the Six Bells and how it looks today, then the best thing to do is to head over to their website, which is www.sixbellsbardwell.co.uk, and I'll post a link to their website on our website, which, as I'm sure you know by now, is www.dadsarmy.podomatic.com.
You're listening to the Dad's Army Podcast.
Can I come with you, Napoleon?
No!
No, we don't want him. No.
Mr. Hodges has just had a similar experience. Like us, he's only doing his duty, and he's been reviled for it. Yes, you can join us, Hodges. We'll shake this town out of its complacency.
Oh, thank you, Napoleon. You and me together, we'll give him a fright they'll never forget.
That was a clip from our featured episode this week, Wake Up Warmington, which was the opener of Series 9, and also the episode that follows on directly from our featured discussion last fortnight, which was My Brother and I. So the scene, Tony, opens right at the very beginning, where they're all on the shooting range.
I enjoyed that part quite a lot. I'm wondering where the stately home is. I love the bit about Mannering and Fraser having a wee wager on who's the best shot. I like the bit where the butler comes in. I love the opening.
No, I think it is good as well, yeah. I think the thing that I've noticed is that all of the characters are so at ease with each other. I mean, you mentioned the part where Fraser says a wee wager, you know, with Mannering, and they got to the point whereby these characters are having bets with each other, and Fraser was just very laid back and relaxed. You know when Mannering and Pike get into tangles all the time?
Yeah.
And hats get moved and glasses get moved and so on. And I don't usually find that funny, but Pike almost throttled Mannering with the binoculars. And despite myself, I found myself laughing at that. I thought that was quite good. Private Sponge, obviously played by Colin Bean, was in this episode as well. He got a speaking part when the butler asks him, you know, who's in charge here. And also later on, as part of the deputation that go to see Mannerin to tell them there's a lot of people within Warmington who are not taken home guard seriously, but we'll get onto that a little bit later. Moving on from the opening scene then, Tony, into the office. Into Mannerin's office. Mr. Blewett, yes. What do you think of Harold Bennett?
I always like his contributions to Dad's Army. Watching him take on Mr. Hodges about the stirrup pump, that's brilliant.
It is. I think he's excellent. And the way I think it demonstrates how it works is because through Blewett's dialogue, he generates audience sympathy for Hodges. Now, you think Hodges has always been the antithesis of Mannerin. He's always been the, you know, something or an area at which Mannerin pokes fun, or there's always animosity there. And within about 30-second scene, Mr. Blewett makes you feel sorry for Hodges. Well, he made me feel sorry for Hodges. And I think, one, it's good, obviously, it's good acting from Harold Bennett, but I think it's brilliant writing. I think that was excellent, because they wanted you, albeit very, very temporarily, they wanted you to feel sorry for Hodges so they could form the alliance. And I thought they'd done that very convincingly, very quickly, and very, very good.
Yeah, Mr. Blewett says to Hodges, I hate you, and I ain't the only one.
Yeah, quite harsh, aren't they? Quite harsh lines there. But I thought that was a very, very good scene. And of course, it moves on, and it gets into a little bit of a discussion about politics. And I think Wilson, I mean, again, this is where, Tony, you'll probably say I'm getting my anorak on, but I think Wilson deliberately winds Mannerin up.
Yeah, this is where Wilson stands up for the butler.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's part of it. He stands up for the butler, and then they get on to talking about classes, and Mannerin says, well, you know, this country will be run properly after the war by bank managers and basically people like him. And Wilson then calls him, what, common people, and so on. And what I think is very, very clever, although the audience didn't laugh at all at this, but Mannerin says, you know, we'll have a true democracy. All of the aristocracy will have to go to work. And Wilson says, well, why do they want to go to work? And Mannerin retorts, well, they won't have any say in the matter. And of course, that's at complete odds with a true democracy. But there wasn't a single line of laughter from the audience. And I thought that was, one, it was quite clever, and two, I thought it was funny.
So it's the working class against the aristocracy.
Yeah. And Wilson just seems to me not to care anymore, really, what Mannerin thinks. He just enjoys playing with him, almost. I thought the way that particular scene was played was really good. It's not very often you get a debate on how society is structured or runs within Dad's Army. I mean, over the last few podcasts, I mean, I mentioned it with James a fortnight ago, but we talk very frequently about World War II being depicted quite clearly and quite accurately in terms of the subject matter in which the characters operate. And I think this is no exception, or this episode is no exception. They mentioned that after 2 years, the Home Guard was not really being taken very seriously, which of course forms the whole basis for the exercise that they go and do later on in the episode. But that must have been quite depressing. Not that anyone really wanted Germany to come and invade quickly, but the Home Guard had been formed for 2 years, there hadn't been an invasion, people really were beginning to wonder if there was a need for the Home Guard. And of course, that's the area that actually brings, or that's the reason why Mannerin and Hodges are brought together.
Yeah, I know how I feel after a day's work, coming home from after a day's work, and they are going out, they're basically grabbing something to eat and going out again for their Home Guard duties, and they're doing this, I think they're doing it daily, and you need to be motivated to do something like that. And as you say, they've gone 2 years, not been needed. But not only that, they never were needed. That's the other thing. Even though I don't think they were wasting their time, they didn't actually... No, if I say they didn't actually do anything, I'm going to be contradicted by someone now, aren't I? But did they do anything useful?
I think it's always hard. I mean, at the time, we're looking back with the benefit of hindsight here, obviously. I think at the time, there were so many people who wanted to contribute. I mean, if you think about... You think about the announcement Anthony Eden made. If we're talking, we sound like we're getting off Dad's Army here, but if you think about the announcement that actually featured in The Man in the Hour, the very first episode of Dad's Army, apparently the response to that announcement was phenomenal, and they had millions of people, you know, over call-up age going into police stations to give their name. They had to do something. At that point in 1940, they had to say, yes, we're going to form what was originally the local defence volunteers, and then latterly become the Home Guard. But of course, it's only now with hindsight that, you know, we realise they weren't invading. Who knows how they would have fared had Germany invaded, and they had to do something. If you're looking at Dad's Army again, you think of a couple of the episodes. Well, there's one in particular where the bells ring and they genuinely think it's an invasion, and there's two actually. There's Godfrey's Cottage.
That's the one I'm thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one we've discussed in the past. And you see the way that the characters within Dad's Army responded, and it wasn't in a comic way, that wasn't played for laughs. And also, I mean, I think it's almost a rehash really, but the film of Dad's Army, do you remember that? Where the bells rang and they ended up building a huge barricade in the middle of the road. That's when they had a bigger budget, I think. But yeah, it would have been interesting. I mean, that is almost certainly how the Home Guard would have reacted, and how perhaps they did react if indeed there were some false invasion alerts.
I now feel very guilty about what I've just said. I don't want anyone to think that I am suggesting they were wasting their time.
No, not at all. I think the conversation's got a little bit serious, but I think it's hopefully still interesting. Going back to Dad's Army then, the continuity between episodes of the programme is actually quite rare. You don't often hear the characters refer to events that happened in other episodes, and you get it on two levels in Wake Up Warmington. Firstly, Pike refers to what happens in Ring Them Bells.
Yes.
Where the whole of the South Coast was on alert, allegedly. And, and secondly, you've got exactly the same pub, which, of course, is the Six Bells. This podcast is focusing on that particular pub, but it's interesting how those two episodes refers back to Ring Them Bells and features the same pub as well.
Both episodes are based on the same idea, aren't they?
Yeah.
And that's the public being scared by the thought of the invasion actually happening there and then. So they're both based on the same idea. Very similar episodes indeed.
That's a good parallel, actually. I hadn't actually realised there was that greater level of comparison, but you're quite right. I think Ring Them Bells has played... Well, I think both of these episodes were very funny. I think both of them were very funny. I mean, to me, you don't really get funnier than having Pike run around as a German officer. And I think that was one of the reasons why we had Ring Them Bells as our featured episode in our very, very first podcast, is because it's one of my all-time favourite episodes. But this episode, it's slightly different, and they dress up as Fifth Columnists. Now, Fifth Columnists, Tony, I've made a note here to ask you, because I don't know what one is. The Colonel didn't really know what one looked like. I mean...
How do you know that I know?
I don't know, but I'm... assuming that you're a very learned individual. I mean, you went to university. You should know these things.
I looked up in the dictionary just while we got together for this. I did actually look it up, and it's something to do with the Spanish Civil War. There were four columns of soldiers marching towards Madrid. I think it's the Spanish Civil War. Certainly it's Spain anyway. And the fifth column were sympathizers with the four columns that were marching towards Madrid, but the fifth column were people already in Madrid that were going to side with the four columns that were invading, I suppose.
That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Because so sympathizers, basically, it means, I think.
Yeah, so in other words, infiltrators, people who already, you know, sympathised with the Nazi cause.
Yes.
Interesting how, I mean, obviously this part was clearly played for comic effect, and I think it's down to personal opinion how well that works, but that's why they decided to dress up as a variety of different suspicious looking ways. So when we move into the mill, the scene in the mill, when each of the characters comes in one or two at a time, Mannerin, I don't think Mannerin looks particularly suspicious or looks ridiculous in any way, but from then on in, it then gets really quite silly. Did you have any particular character who you liked their entry to?
The only bit I laughed at on this. This isn't my favourite bit, but the bit I did laugh at was Pike coming in a pinstripe suit, where the pinstripes had been written on in chalk on a plain suit, and his stripes had been drawn on. And that, I thought that was great.
Again, I think it was just supposed to be a boy not really appreciating the seriousness of war. I think even Mannerin said at one point, when he's speaking to Wilson, you know, I can understand Pike dressing like that because he's a boy, doesn't appreciate it. So yeah, I think Pike is always good, and I know you've said in the past that you don't like it when they dress up in various different things, but
yeah.
I think Pike there is, I suppose he's Al Capone wannabe American gangster. I just think he's funny. I think he's funny in whatever he does that's slightly outside the normal remit of Pike's character.
And, terrific acting, always.
Ian Lavender, I think he's... I mean, they're all excellent in their own little roles, certainly. But I think Ian Lavender is an absolute gem. How they found him at that particular point in his career is just incredibly fortuitous. And this episode, I think he worked... Every line that he's got, and he hasn't got that many lines, but every line he's got, I think, works really well.
Yeah, I've got a question for you. There's Wilson taking his white gloves off, and he pulls off the fingers. Now,
yes.
I didn't get that. Can you explain what's going on there?
I don't know whether I can. I think I can. When Mannerin said, "Why are you dressed like that?" I think the response is that he used to wear this to the tramp's ball every year or something like that. So if he's supposed to be a tramp wearing gloves, then perhaps the gloves are falling apart. I mean, you see what I mean? It's not a particularly good explanation, really. But possibly that's what it is that they're driving at.
We've got nuns in this episode again, and it's making me suddenly wonder which episodes... it would make a good quiz question, but which episodes, out of all 80 episodes, which episodes have got nuns in?
Well, if you extend that question to which episode mentions nuns or has nuns in, then I think you'll get into quite a high number. we've talked about the obsessions with nuns before, but yeah, I could... Certainly in the last couple of episodes that we've discussed, there's been a reference.
Yeah, I don't actually want to know how many episodes. I probably would like a list of the episodes.
Yeah, if we like a list of episodes that mention nuns, we'd like a list of episodes that actually have nuns in them. And yes, I think that would be quite good. there does seem to be a propensity to refer to nuns, but I think we've mentioned that before, certainly in our discussion about guerrilla warfare. And I think one of the episodes we saw on stage, Deadly Attachment, they have quite a prolonged discussion about nuns disguised as parachute troops. So yeah, it's just a recurrent thing, and of course this is getting towards the end of the run, and I'm sure nuns are mentioned after Wake Up Warmington. One other question I wanted to ask concerning the mill scene. There's two. Hodges and Jones. Jones, I think, gets a reasonable outing again. Now I've been told off by a number of our listeners for having a go at Jones. One person even said to me, do I hate him so much, and I don't hate any of them, I just find Jones a little bit irritating at times, that's all. But I actually think he works reasonably well here, even though he's probably one of his most silly. Him dressed up as a mother superior is very disconcerting, but I think it's... Fortunately, it's only for a couple of moments. I think Fraser gets a good line when he mentions that he looks just as peculiar out of a nun's outfit as he does in a nun's outfit. What did you make of Hodges in his French gear?
Hodges in his French gear.
I think it was meant to be French.
Yeah, it's alright.
No,
sorry, that's not a very good answer for him. Yeah, it's alright.
I think the... You know, Sponge is actually in the scene as well at the end, you don't realise, but the lesser characters, or the characters they don't want you to dwell on so much, are in the less bizarre outfits. We get Captain Square featuring the episode towards the end, and there's actually about a 3 or 4 minute period of this episode whereby none of the regular platoon feature. You've just got Square, his platoon, who are in Jones's van, the Verger and the Vicar. And I can't think of another episode whereby there's such a long period of time without showing any regular member of cast. One final thing then, Tony, before I ask for your score. You remember Under the Tree, where Mannering goes to challenge the, what appear to be, genuine fifth columnists who happen to be dressed the same way?
Yes, I never understand who they actually are, and the episode never explains.
No, I know.
He just left one.
You know when he pulls his gun, though?
Yes, I do remember that bit.
And he takes the gun directly out of his hand.
Yes.
The very next scene is outside the Six Bells pub. But the last thing Mannering does before the two gents are having a drink run off...
He drops the gun on the table.
How does he get it back?
Unless he grabbed it back.
He grabbed it back.
I think the people he pointed the gun at were friendly people and they probably gave the gun back.
Well, it must be very friendly, yes. And just one other small continuity thing. Mannering also gets soaked by mud when the van goes past. And the next scene is as dry as a bone. And you can't see any mud on his outfit at all. Anyway, moving on to your score then, Tony. What do you think? Good, bad? Whereabouts?
Out of five, 2.5.
Really? That low?
It's not a great episode. I enjoy the first two-thirds of the episode, but really haven't got much to say about the last third.
Oh, well, I think this is probably our biggest variance then. Well, I'm giving this a four out of five. I've always liked Wake Up Warmington. I've always found it funny, and I thought it was a great way to start the last series. So that's I think the first time we've had more than about one and a half difference. Anyway, great to talk to you again, as always, Tony, and our featured episode next podcast will be My Brother and I. Now, this will actually form our Christmas special podcast, so we're not going to put it out until the end of December. We've got a couple of other different kinds of podcasts coming out for you before our Christmas special. So please, again, send in your thoughts and comments about My Brother and I. It's quite a unique episode where Arthur Lowe plays two roles, and we'll discuss your comments as part of our discussion. That's it for this fortnight. Hope you enjoyed the show. Please let us know if you did, and please let us know if you didn't. Just a reminder, in a couple of weeks' time, we have our stage show special, which will be... Well, it's looking like it's going to be the most participative podcast we've had so far. So if you'd like to be included in that podcast, and I think it's likely to be a bit of a long show as well, we may be pushing 45, 50 minutes on that one, then please send us in your comments. Anything concerning the stage show at all, however brief, however long, anything is welcome. All that's left for me to say is thanks again to Paul at the Six Bells, and thanks ever so much for downloading. Hope you enjoyed it. Speak to you in a couple of weeks' time.
He comes home each evening and he's ready with his gun. So who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler? If you